God, thank you for knowing us, Lord God. Thank you for creating us, Lord God, and knowing what we need, Lord. Thank you for activities of our limbs, Lord God, giving us this opportunity, Lord God, to worship in one place and to give your name to praise, Lord God, because you are worth it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, how you carried us, Lord God, and brought us through, Lord God, that we will be able to hear, Lord God, to worship your name, Lord God, and come in collaboration, Lord God, as one body, Lord God, to lift you up, Lord God. And you are absolutely worthy today, Lord God. And we just thank you so very much, Lord God, for allowing us this place, Lord God, to share with your people, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to increase, Lord God, as we decrease, Lord God, that you get the glory and honor out of each and one of our lives. In your son, Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed and good morning to you. I am so excited here today. I got the phone call and I was like, yep. I am ready. I'm super excited. And I know that a lot of you here, some of you may not know me. A lot of you here have heard from me before, but I'm more excited about who we're going to hear from today. I'm not going to be teaching today by myself. I got some help with the young people and some people that are not so young, but they're still younger than me. Is that all right? Amen. So in this spirit of thankfulness, in the spirit of thanksgiving, God had pressed it upon me, and I'm careful about the Christianese that I speak, because everybody is not speaks in Christianese, but God impressed upon me. But I just truly thank God for, as I walk with him, I have an understanding that he is talking to me, and he's responding to me, and I am very grateful that I can hear from God, because there was a time that everybody could not hear from God. And that's just a nugget for you, that if you want to hear from God, he tells me in his words that he's not a respecter of persons, so that if you want to hear from him, you listen. Amen. And then he will speak to you. And I'm so excited about that. But so during this time, I know Thanksgiving was coming up, and I was thinking about how we're going to all get together. We're going to be sharing recipes, and some people are going to be trying recipes out for the first time, which we know that's probably a no-no. You want to practice that thing out and make sure your family knows what that tastes like before Thanksgiving Day. And I thought about the disappointments that come with that. And I also was thinking about this. This is a long thought that I've had. I love watching comedy. And in conjunction with these recipes, I was watching this comedy by Jerry Seinfeld. Some of you may know him. Some of you may not. He had a long time TV show going on. It was pretty good. They had some great writers. And so one time he did this set, and he was doing some comedy, and he talked about maximum strength. And what he said is that he was looking at an aspirin bottle, and he thought about maximum strength. And so he was in jokes, in jesting, he was talking about what is really maximum strength. And he says that they look at, when they're testing out this medicine, Tylenol, whatever the next stuff that you get on every day over the counter, they find out what will kill you, and then they back it up to what will not kill you. And that is the maximum strength that they are allowed to give you over the counter. And I thought that was so, so good. And so today I wanted to just bring those two ideas together, if you guys don't mind. That that God knew exactly when he created us. You guys remember what they said in the Word of God in Genesis? What we were created from? They were just created from dust. But what I love is that he did not stop there, right? He had orchestrated our lives so magnificently, so awesomely, that from the beginning of the mother's womb, and if you just give me an opportunity, I just want to read Psalms 139, 13 through 18, because it sums it up beautifully. So if you have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen, but I just want to read this out while I'm telling you about this recipe that God had for us. And I'll give you an opportunity to get there. Because I want you to read this for yourself. This is one of the great great men of the Word in the Bible that wanted to share what he felt about himself and what God had done in his life. And I don't know what he went through in his life. I wasn't there. But these words are so profound. And you may have heard portions of this because it's a very familiar one. So it says in the 13th verse, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet they were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great the sum of them, that if I should count them, they would be more in number than sand. And when I am awake, I am still with you. That is a pondering on what how good God is. And today, I want you to be in that atmosphere, that you would ponder over your life and know that God had a hand in that all throughout, before you were formed in your mother's womb. I heard someone say, before you were a gleam in your father's eye. He thought about you. He thought about your whole entire life and how he prepared. He even made grace for the mistakes that you were going to make. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know about you, but I've made some mistakes in my life. Jay, let me tell you, I have made some mistakes that I'm almost embarrassed to say that I should not be up here, but he prepared a little grace for even that. So it allowed me to let you know that I am a witness that God is marvelous in his works and his thoughts toward me. And I'm thinking about this great and mighty God that would prepare this entire world, heaven and earth, the trees, the birds and the bees, the animals of the ground. But then he would look at me and say, hey, we're going to give this guy dominion over all that. And I'm going to prepare him. And then I want to go so far. I'm just going to get a little intimate. But all the systems of the body. Anybody remember how many systems that we had when you guys was in school? This was kind of like middle school. I remember learning about this. But all these systems. And I remember my teacher, a science teacher, asking me, you know, what makes all that work? And I'm like, God, I forgot. I thought I was in church for a minute, but nobody could remember, like, what is making these organs work and these cells and these organs and these systems and these tissue? How is that all being put together? And it was God that he was so intricate in his details that he thought of us. Thank you so much. That he thought of us that enough. Now, I don't want you to forget this maximum strength. And as these people that come with these recipes for their life, I want you to think about that on your own. It's a great assignment. I gave it to my kids, and I asked them to write a recipe for your life, what God has put in your life. And you know how you say you need a pinch of this and a dollop. I still don't know what a dollop is, but 2 teaspoons and maybe some little seasoning here. But I thought about that in my life, and my children, they got back with me, and they had some beautiful things, and then Amber's daughter had wrote one yesterday, and it was so beautiful. She did it right off the cuff as well. And they all had different perspectives. So I said, Lord, I just want to ask a few people, could they do that for me? And that they did, and I'm so glad for each and every one that you said yes to. And I was thinking to myself, and just for an example, I mean, just a little bit of God's grace, maybe a pinch of humbling. I would say a dollop of accountability. Thank you, pastors. A dollop. And I don't know if this is a dollop. I'm thinking more like a bucket of accountability. A little bit of trouble. And here's one of those maximum strengths that I want to really get into your brain. Is that he allowed me to go, Brother Ron, he allowed me to go in enough trouble that it would not kill me, but not too little that I wouldn't get on my knees. You guys feel what I'm saying? He had just gave me just enough substance that he would just take it just far enough back, the maximum strength or the maximum grace that I needed for my life, that it would turn me back to him. I'm not saying that I didn't fall for the temptations. He said, you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes because we're made from dirt. And for some reason, our flesh is trying to get there right back there. I don't understand. But we're always trying to get back to that dirt as fast as we can. So we fall on these temptations, but God, when he created us, he breathed his life into us. That's what the Bible has told me, and I believe it because he always brings me back to him. It's like I can't understand that. And it's so funny to me how two people can go through the same thing. This guy can go through a divorce, and this guy can go through a divorce, and he goes into a spiral of addiction. And this guy keeps on holding after God. This guy could get into an accident, and this person can get into an accident, and his body is mangled, and he walks out with just a couple of scratches. There's something about this maximum strength that God has, that he does something for us that gives us perspective. I'm not saying that what we go through in the world is going to give us an exemption from problems. What I'm saying is that he gives us this maximum strength that we can endure. Now, I'm going to give you that example, then I'm going to come back at the end, and I'm going to shut up and let the next person come on and talk.
Hello. Okay. This is Malika's recipe. 3 cups of chocolate because I'm created in his image. 1 quart of love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving and kindness have I drawn thee. This is my plan to bring my friends closer to God. 1/2 cup of determination, because I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1/2 cup of dexterity. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Compassion. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. 10 tablespoons of untidiness. I know cleanliness is next to godliness. I am working on it, Lord. 2/4 cup of laughter and joy. He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. 1/4 cup of indecisiveness. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139:14. Now let it simmer in the oven of heaven for eternity.
My recipe is a little different. Instead of cups, there's years. So 19 years of preparation, 5 years of SAS, about four years of heartbreak, but this is when my dad went in the hospital. For over 3 months, this is when life got rocky. This is when darkness and sadness came, but this is also when I realized that I couldn't trust myself anymore. Like, it couldn't be just me. It's when I realized that God, all I could do was call on God. All I could do was have faith. All I could do is just be in the presence of God, because if I didn't, I would just crumble. But then I was afraid. Then I was afraid of getting baptized because of water. I'm terrified of water. But I had to get over that. I had to overcome that so I could be in the presence of the Lord. So it came. I had resilience. I had enough strength, enough willingness to get baptized so I could be in the presence of the Lord. But after that, and like right now, the devil tried to attack me with my mom. And if I'm looking at the timeline, this is exactly 7 years from my dad. So the devil tries to attack me. The devil tries to get through me. The devil tries to move me. The devil, even today, the devil tried to not let me make it to church this morning. But I found a way. I found a way to get in the house of the Lord. So my faith has become stronger. I've got a little taller. I got a little older. But this is my recipe. But it's not over. I still got a little bit more to go.
We are all created in God's image when we're born. And even though you have a good recipe, a good recipe never stays the same because it could always be made better. Looking back over my life, I believe God did not make a mistake when he created me. However, certain circumstances in my life added a few harmful ingredients to my recipe. And my initial recipe before God, yeah, there was a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, a lot of unforgiveness and bitter and sadness, lack of self-worth. A lot of you don't know, but I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I watched my dad, you know, be abusive verbally and physically to my mom. So I watched my dad be verbally abusive and physically abusive towards my mom, sexually abusive towards my sister and I, which, I don't know about you guys, it caused a lot of hurt, anger, hatred, bitterness, and a lot of unforgiveness. I was out of control as a child, which brought a lot of sadness and insecurities. Didn't have a lot of self-worth, which caused me to be violent. Prior to meeting my husband, I was in a 14 and a half year relationship, and that relationship was by far the most toxic relationship. You know, the things that I saw my dad, you know, bring to my mom and my sister, I became that in that relationship. I became violent. I became verbally abusive, physically abusive. I thought that was love because that's all I saw, you know? That's all I saw. So then I met God. In 2013, I met God. And in September 14 of 2014, I gave my life to Christ. And in giving my life to Christ, you know, I was going to church every Sunday. But although I was going to church, I was still, you know, living the way I wanted to live. I was fornicating. I was in that 14 and a half year relationship. So I was just doing me, but still going to church. And God met me. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, meeting Jesus is like the process of cleaning your meat. And I don't know about you guys, cleaning chitlins or goat, if you don't clean that and you try to serve it, there's a stench. There's a stench. And if you don't clean it well, it will have your house stinking, yes. So a lot of us, you know, I'll speak about me. For me, for a long time, you understand, I was doing church. I was going to church every Sunday. And still living the way I wanted to live. And eventually, that stench started to come up. And God was like, no, we're going to purge that out. We're going to purge that out, you know? So now, my meat don't stink. I clean my meat. And even though it's the recipe of today, tomorrow it could be a whole new recipe. Because as we know, recipe change because our taste bud change, which causes us to add or take away some things. So my recipe now coming to Christ. So the word says in 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So the ingredients to my recipe after coming to Christ is 1 cup of good thoughts. So every day I have to ask God to renew this mind of mine with good thoughts. 2 cups of sacrifice. Today was a sacrifice. Me being up here was a sacrifice. 3 cups of forgiveness. In 2020, I forgave my father. And this year, I forgave myself. After Pastor Sam gave his testimony and word on forgiveness, and at the end of it, he opened up the altar, and something was tugging on my heart to come up. And I'm like, God, you know, I forgave all the people that I had to forgive, not knowing that I held myself in bondage. I never forgave myself for the pain that I put on to other people and the things that I... the shame that I was carrying. So, 1 cup of kind deed, 1 cup of consideration, 2 heaping cups of patience. Weeping. 1 heart full of love, 2 handfuls of generosity, plenty faith. Plenty of faith, generous sprinkle of kindness. And as we know, every recipe has directions. In Psalm 51:10, the NIV version says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Yes, me. You. Yes. So I had to take a clean cloth and wipe the bowl clean of any lingering dust from my past. Then for a whole year, I had to trim off all the old memories of hatred and discord. Then I had to soak and wash thoroughly in plenty of love and courage, because the love that I grew up in, that was not love. Next, I had to cut the days into 12 parts, which are the months of the year, cooking only one day at a time, one thing at a time. Then I seasoned my pot with some kindness for others and try to add patience for small trials that come up every day. Because as we know, the enemy is gonna show up. Now it's time to mix it all together. In Psalms 112:5, the NIV version, it says, "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy." So I add tears of joy. So the tears y'all saw me cry, it's not, I don't want any pity. It's, I know what God has brought me through. I know it's God that I'm standing here today. Flavor of love and kindness and kindly services. Next, fold in 4 cups of prayer and faith. My husband will tell you I'm a woman of prayer and of faith. Continue stirring gently, adding listening, honesty, and large amount of communication. And then I slip in some dreams, goals, and firm pieces of holding onto God's promises for myself. Now I can spread out the mixture and blend it into my daily life. Baked in a home filled with peace, beauty, and serenity. Before you taste the finished product, I sprinkle it with some Robert. God bless me. Well, this is my recipe. I sprinkle it with Robert because Robert has been nothing but patient, nothing but loving, and nothing but kind. He allows me to go through the things that I go through. You know, he allows me to uncover the things that I've been holding on to. He's not the type of person that's gonna be like, you know, babe, it's time to let go. He allows God to meet me where I'm at. So I thank you. Lastly, serve it very hot with a smile that melts hearts. That's my recipe. Yes.
You did so good. Let me grab my arm. Hello. I can't top that, but also for the record, Pastor Sam will be sleeping on the couch tonight for making me do this. Kidding, he would never make me. Strongly encourage, I will use that word. So mine is a little bit different. Instead of doing like amounts, I think it's difficult for me to talk about myself or come up with, I'm trying. I got my emotional support here. As somebody said, Amber, just imagine everybody in their underwear, and I have a really good imagination, so I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay, here we go. When I was thinking about it, I was thinking about, like, what ingredients first came to mind when I thought about myself. Like, my daughter definitely, like, listed all these great things, like Pastor Sam said, oh, you sound like Mary Poppins. Like, why can't I just read this? Like, this is perfect. And he's like, no. So I'm not going to read that. But so anyways, I thought about what first came to mind. The first ingredient is compassion. I think I've been through so much in my life. I know looking at me, and people will say this often to me, like, you don't look anything like what you've been through. And I take that as one of the biggest compliments, because although I have been through some, I'm not going to go into everything, but some things that would probably blow everybody's mind in this room, I don't accept that that's who I am. It's a chapter of my book, but I don't live in that chapter. So I accept it. I took the lessons, but I also kept it in that chapter. Some chapters are harder to go and read back through, but I continue to look to the future. I continue, you know, so although I've been through so much, I don't carry it around with me. I give it to God, I set it down, and I continue, if that makes any sense. Because of what I've been through, I do think that this is a gift from God. It could be a gift, and sometimes it's kind of a curse. Not a curse, but it could be inconvenient at times, where I'm extremely sensitive to people's energy, people's, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, their spirit. And because of that, I'm able to tap into things that are very deep within them. And it definitely helps with my job, connecting with my clients. But it also can be very exhausting, because when you do that with everybody, and at the end of the day, you go home and you're just, like, depleted. So I try to use that gift in a way that God would be proud of me using it, but there have been times where, like Pastor Sam could tell, like, I've gone in to hug somebody here, and I've gone home, and I'm like, she's not okay, or, you know, this person is dealing with something physically, or whatever it might be. So anyways, okay, the next one. Hold on, I have to read my handwriting. Okay, stubbornness, yes, okay. I'm just being honest, because, yeah. And this one, I think, comes from just years of having to grow up really quickly, and realizing very early on that nobody was going to come in and save me, that I would have to figure things out, which over time now has created this, like, very, like almost like, in some situations, like, I can't back down. It's like, no, you're not gonna tell me that, or, you know, it's like, and thankfully I have Pastor Sam, because he's like, listen, you know, let me tell you something about yourself. And I'm like, but he's right most of the time. So stubbornness is definitely something that would go into making Amber. Humor. Okay, this is a good one, because, and I always say this, but people always think that Pastor Sam is the funny one in this relationship, and he's not. It is me, for the record. So, yeah. It's the quiet ones, you know? And so I have a funny story about this, that when I was writing this, I don't know why this came to my mind, but I'm going to tell it, and I might get in trouble for this later, but it's okay. So in the white culture, you guys may or may not know this, but we joke around with each other from time to time about, you know, being white trash, okay? I think Juan knows where this is going. Okay. So, and it's just something, it's so silly, but we do it. I don't know why or where it came from, but, like, for instance, if you don't mow your grass and it gets long, people will be like, you're starting to look a little, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll cut my grass. If you have 12 cars that don't run sitting in front of your house, somebody's going to be like, hey, you're looking a little, you know, white trash. Oh, okay. You know, Christmas lights on your house in the middle of summer. I know. Hear me out. Hold on. There's a point to this. Okay, just follow me for a second. I'm going somewhere. Okay. So there we were, Pastor Sam and I, pull up to the Smalls' house. This was, I think, back in the summer, like the dead of summer. And he runs up to the door, and I'm just sitting in the car, you know, and I'm looking, I'm like, did they put Christmas lights up on their house in, like, August? And I'm like, I have not seen these lights here before. I've been here. I'm like, so Juan is standing at the door talking to, you know, Sam, and I'm like, hey, you guys know Christmas lights in the middle of summer is white trash, right? He looks over at me like he didn't hear me, and I was like, okay, well, he goes back inside. Doesn't say anything. Fast forward 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, we are at their home for a couples, what is it called? Couples meeting, couples, they, as one, I call it couples meeting because that's what I put on my calendar. So we're there, and again, it's summer, right? I'm in flip-flops. I come in, say hi to everybody, jump up on the couch, but my feet are cold, so I tuck my feet to the side of me, right? And I kind of pull my skirt down. I'm getting comfortable. And here comes Juan, just so, I don't even know the word. The timing of this, he comes over and he sits down next to me and he says, hey, sis. And I said, hey, how are you? He said, you want to know what's really white trash? He said, putting your feet on someone else's couch. Mic drop. I wanted to stand up right there and start clapping. I just looked at him and I said, I've nothing but respect for you, sir. I don't even know what to say, but you got me. You got me. And he was, I mean, when someone meets your humor where it's at and you can laugh about life and you don't get so offended about everything, you find the humor. Something is, you know, white trash. It's like, okay, you know, that wasn't the point, but the deliverance that he had, the patience that it took for him to wait for the very perfect opportunity and then deliver it with such poise and finesse is like, I'm going to serve this to you and make you eat it, you know? So I went home and, you know, pulled out my notebook and was like, okay, don't make white trash jokes with black families. That doesn't go over well. Especially the Smalls, because I don't want that smoke. I don't. I was like, and at that point, I was like, Juan, we're friends. Like, I don't know how else to, like, you're my people, you know? And ever since then, yeah, there's a mutual respect. And there, you know, so humor is something, it's a gift from God that I truly believe that we can heal so much. And if we turn to it, even in, you can find, and I always say this, you can find humor literally in anything. Any situation that you're in, it's all about your perspective. It's all about how you choose to look at it. In those some situations, it might be harder to find the humor, but I promise you there's going to be something that you can laugh about because there always is, whether it's yourself or something silly or white trash, you know, you got to find it, and that's it. I'm done. Thank you.
Hello, okay. y'all gonna have to, you know, work with me here, because again, like Alyssa said, I'm not that good at you know, public speaking, but I'm here, so. it was kind of hard to write this down, really, so everything I'm saying is just, I'm making sure it's coming from the heart as much as possible, and I just want y'all to, you know, just understand where I'm coming from, but it's really more like two recipes for me, right? The first one was just me growing up, coming from Dallas, Texas, all the way until, you know, joining the military. I'll say this right now. The first thing that went into my recipe right now is a big stick of hard-headedness. Especially as a young man growing up, you know, that's all of us has had that one point, but a big stick of hard-headedness just growing up, and, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody at this point understands what hard-head makes, you know. But you also got realize at the end of the day, it's a reason for that. Either you learn the easy way, you know, do what you're supposed to, like, you know, hey, God wants you to do this, and you'd be like, okay, yes, sir, or okay, you want to go about that way? Let's see what happens, you know. You don't learn the lesson either way. Well, also with that, I say I'm grateful for, I also came with about half a cup of kindness, right? You know, all the things I've seen, you know, kind of went through myself growing up, either with my family or my friends, you know, I was still graced with kindness, you know, in myself, right? You know, there were times I've been mean, you know, ain't been the nicest, whether knowingly or unknowingly, but there were still times, you know, I just wanted to look out for somebody else, right? I just wanted to, you know, do the right thing. It could have been somebody older, younger than me, my same age. You know, as a kid, you don't really know everything. You don't know what's right or wrong. You just say, hey, I see that. I noticed that I'm going to do it. I want to handle it. Like, hey, like, he's hurting. Let me go help him up. And I was just, I'm blessed to have that growing up. You know, all the, ended up having, you know, another cup of about half a cup of, how can I say this? I have a cup of ungratefulness. You know, there are times growing up to where you didn't understand what you really had, and it's tough. It's a big life lesson, you know, growing up and realizing, you know, you used to see it from one perspective, and then once you finally get out there and start living your life and start going through things, you start seeing how well off you were, right? You know, I didn't have the most, I didn't have the absolute best, but at the same time, especially for my parents, especially my dad, he did his best. You know, you got, at the end of the day, you got to realize, like, their best was the best for me, and that was good. And I'm still learning how to appreciate that to this day, and more I grow great, you know, I'm more grateful for that. And I wanted to bring this up. My wife had to say this one to me, and it just made me, it just brought to mind a lot of things that not only my dad, but my mom and friends were telling me too, and I just had to really listen, because that's about another, a pinch of not listening, you know. I'm being nice to myself right now, but it was honestly a whole lot of not listening. No, but I eventually got there. the verse that my wife told me about, and I try to, you know, keep in mind as much as possible, starts at James 1:22. This is the NLT version. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. And at times I was doing that. I was honestly doing that. And up until the military, like, there were times I honestly forgotten, like, who I was or just what I went through, and having so much going on in my life, going through, just having so many thoughts and negative things going through your head, it messes with you. It really does. And it really does take, like, you know, just the word of God, just your friends, your family, all the people, you know, around you, whether they're friends or strangers or whatnot, just, you know, speaking good things into you, just help, just being there as a reminder. So, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And the more and more I'm here, the more and more I talk with my friends, my family, people I work with, because they're all good people, you know, I see that more and more, and I'm each and every day I feel more and more blessed for it. No matter what goes through my head, like, I always try to remember, like, you're a lot more blessed than you think, right? God's there with you. You just need to honestly see that. And I try to make sure I remember that to, you know, tell other people around me. Just God's there. Just don't forget that. I'm kind of, you know, when you start doing that one recipe and you realize how much you're doing it wrong and you try and correct it, well, that's where I'm at right now. So I'm changing that, you know, that stick of hardness to a big stick of humbleness. Because I've definitely been humble. You know what? I'm glad for it. It honestly, you think it might hurt in the beginning, but it's a good thing for you. Humbleness is a great thing. It can put you in a different mindset. There are just some things you're going to have to work through in your life. And once you get there, you're going to realize, like, I'm so glad for this, you know. The next thing is about a whole nother cup of kindness, because you don't realize what somebody else is going through. Even for the people that are close to you, right, they could be going through anything. And I actually learned from somebody that I work with right now. Somebody got close to knowing he's a great person, has been, you know, helping me out from some of the things I've been going through. And he said, look, like, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, what's going on, if it's a stranger you walk by, you know, just a good reminder, hey, say hello, or hey, how you doing? Small conversations, small things like that can make a big difference, and it's the small things that matter, really. You can't just focus on, you know, the big things and not do all the small things, because those small things add up. And yeah, for right now, that's kind of my resume. I'm still working on it, but I'm still adding to it. I'm gonna get there. I know I will. Just need to keep working at it. Thank y'all.
Thank you, guys. It was some great, great recipes. I'm going to have P-Way came up, but P-Way wanted to share. You guys, thank you guys for your patience. I truly love these recipes. And I'm going to have a P-Way come up and share her recipe with you guys. And then we're going to.
Thank you. My name is P-Way. That's my mom. I would like to ask the church to raise their hand. And I would like to ask them to raise it higher this time. So that what happens when you want to trust God. I decided to trust God. For the last couple of months and years, my mom left me when I was 6 to come here to find a better future for me. And sometimes I will cry. Ask myself, why did my mom leave me? But she did not. She came back. She worked hard. And I just want to thank God that he was there with my mom 6 years. She was here in the United States. My mom is a single mom. She tries every time I see her trying. I love her. And she had sleepless nights trying to put food in my mouth. But God,
just shortly. So just a recap of some of these recipes before I give you some beautiful scriptures and then let you go. So if you heard it from Malika, she said, let it simmer. I like that 3 cups of chocolate. I got a little cup of chocolate to myself. And the Dovey, she definitely appreciated the determination Dovey had. And Katia, that's a good recipe. I love how she said that the recipe can change. And I was thinking about I saw Paula Deen one time. She took two of my favorite desserts. She took cheesecake and pecan pie. She put them together, and I was like, goodness gracious, I never thought it could happen this way. It was so beautiful. But what I had learned, and I like that my meat don't stink. I love that. Oh, what's up, son? I didn't even see you come in. Okay, and what I love about it is how the recipe changed, and Pastor Linda was just sharing with me in my ear, because, you know, when you're hearing his great word come forth, it just gives you, that'll preach, you know what I mean? And I like how it was said that some ingredients ain't good by itself. But when it's mixed perfectly, it is artistry when it comes out. Now, thank you, Corian. I said that hard head. Anybody know that rest of that saying? A hard head makes a what? Soft behind. Tenderize that thing. Amen. But I truly thank God. So these, I want you to just ponder on these other scriptures. In Genesis, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite ones. For I know, and this is God talking to each and every one of us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Ephesians 1:11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And finally, in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved, male and female. He created them both. May God have blessed the church to read him his word. And so I want us all to stand as I pray. As you're thinking about the recipe that you are, who God created you to be, and I just remember hearing a couple of those who had spoken, shared their recipes with us, that there were some times that we did not feel worthy. And there were some times that when we looked upon ourselves and our recipe is not something that anybody wanted to cook up and serve. But God knew what he was doing. And he has not changed his mind about you. He has not changed his mind about me. But he knows exactly the perfect will when that thing comes out, proverbially speaking, and when it comes out of the oven, it is a perfect thing that God can serve up to his people to bring reconciliation back to this whole entire world. You just be the recipe that God has created you to be. Don't worry about the rest. He's already got it predestined. He already knows what was going on. He already knew how it was going to come out. All you got to do is follow the recipe. Can we say amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you so very much, Lord God, for what has transpired here today. We thank you, Lord God, for the willing vessels, Lord God, that have came up and shared, Lord God, the good works that you have done, Lord God, and the simmering, Lord God, that you have placed inside of us, Lord God, preparing us, Lord God, for your purposes and plans. Lord, I dare say, Lord God, that you are setting us apart even now, Lord God, for your purposes, Lord God, holy and acceptable unto you, what your word says, Lord God, that you may be pleased, Lord God, with this life, Lord, that you have given us, Lord God, as we present it to you, Lord God. Let no one leave this place, Lord God, looking upon themselves, Lord God, as not worthy, Lord God, or unappreciated, Lord God, or messed up, Lord God. Because we are reminded in your word, Lord God, in Psalms 139, it says, all you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you do not waste time creating something that you are not going to get the glory out of, Lord God. And we love you for it. We thank you for it. Let the church say amen. Amen.